Welcome to a special edition of OU Kosher Tidbits, entitled, In Times of Difficulty, A Question of Meaning, A Meditation on Kashrus. These are difficult times. Editorial pages, news and financial reporters bemoan the dramatic loss of wealth in this country and around the world. Trillions of dollars of net worth lost, homes foreclosed, businesses shut down, charities struggling, unemployment nearing record levels. Even those who have secure employment feel the anxiety. There is a sense that nothing is certain. Difficult times, indeed. At times like these, it might seem like a luxury to speak about a desire for security and meaning. After all, there is food to be put on the table. However, it is precisely when the going gets rough that our vision is sharpest, and our ability to evaluate what is really important is at its keenest. Because, in fact, what is most is what has always been most certain. Perhaps in relying on ever-expanding stock markets and home mortgages, we have simply placed our faith in the wrong things. So does the current historic loss of wealth suggest that material worth is meaningless? Or does it demonstrate that, in fact, material well-being is essential to our lives? According to Judaism, the answer is both and neither. Judaism suggests that the either-or implied in the two questions is, in fact, a false choice. Judaism does not embrace the physical rather than the spiritual, nor does it reject the physical in favor of the spiritual. God has instructed us that we are both physical and spiritual, and that it is in the embrace and delight of both that we most fully find meaning and honor the Ribono Shel Olam, the creator of the universe. All that lives upon the earth must breathe. All that lives upon the earth must drink. All that lives upon the earth must eat. All that lives upon this earth is a physical being, and as such is driven by fundamental needs that enable each living thing to survive. We share these drives with every beast of the field or fowl of the air, with each creature that crawls in the dust or which soars through the vault of blue sky. In Bereshis, the Torah makes clear that the stuff from which we were formed, Adama, is integral and essential to who and what we are, Adam. In other words, the physical world matters. What's more, we were formed from the very same stuff as even the most base creatures in God's creation. Our physical form and nature was taken from the dust of the ground. We are physical beings. During these difficult times, some might find the perspective of certain Eastern religions and philosophies attractive, in which the material is demeaned, and we are instructed to turn away from the physicality of life. But Judaism does not seek to deny our physical nature. To do so would be to deny something essential and important, indeed something spiritual, about who we are. As Jews, we are taught to embrace the physical. To do anything less would be to question the wisdom and sanctity of God's creation. I have set before you life and death, therefore choose life. Life. Life is good. Creation is good. The physical world is good. However, while we share physicality with every living thing in creation, we are not the same as every living thing. Far from it. We are not simply the physical form that we inhabit. And the Lord God formed Adam of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And Adam became a living soul. Like every other creature in creation, our physical needs demand fulfillment if we are to survive, to remain in this mortal coil. But distinct from every other creature in creation, we received something more than just our physical selves. We received the breath of life from God. We received a soul, a body, and a soul. Man has a purpose in life. Not in spite of life, but because of it. The question then is, once again, what is the purpose of life? Judaism is a continual engagement with the world. Mitzvot guide us in the appropriate ways to engage the world, not to avoid the world, which brings us to kashrus. Hunger is an essential drive of all living things. But like all essential drives, unless it is satisfied in a way that is both permissible and holy, it is impossible to enjoy a truly spiritual life. Each of us has before us a choice in everything we do. There is the right way and the wrong way. Certainly the poor example set by many in the financial world has made that lesson clear, has it not? We can satisfy our hunger drive as every other animal in creation, or we can find the holiness in this physical activity and have it become a mirror of the divine. After all, we all must eat. Still, from a Jewish perspective, the adage, "you are what you eat," is not a comment on physical well-being, but a comment on spiritual well-being, and goes to not only what we eat, but how we eat, when we eat, where we eat, and why we eat. There are those, good-intentioned, intelligent, and knowledgeable, who hold that the laws of kashrus were established primarily as a guide to healthy living. Unfortunately, such a perspective completely misses the essence of kashrus. The attempt to give a logical rationale for keeping kosher is misguided. The command to observe kashrus, like every other mitzvah, is significant and spiritual, not because of the content of the command, but it is because of God who has commanded it. As the Rambam wrote, it is appropriate that one meditate according to his intellectual capacity regarding the laws of the Torah to understand their deeper meaning. Those laws for which he finds no reason and knows no purpose should nevertheless not be treated lightly. We follow the mitzvos, the commandments, not because they make sense or even because they have an intrinsic logic. We follow the commandments as an article of faith. Do we follow a commandment because it makes sense to us? Of course not. That would suggest that the following of the commandment was dependent on our deeming it understandable. That is clearly not the reason we observe mitzvos. We know that Adam fell by eating forbidden food. Certainly there was nothing intrinsically wrong with his eating of an apple. His health did not fail because of his choice. The lesson here is that from the very beginning, health issues are not elemental to the eating of forbidden foods. No. The reason that Adam fell was because he did what was forbidden by God. In doing so, he removed himself from that which is holy. He ate because he was hungry, or because the food seemed attractive and tasty, or simply because his dining partner, Chava, wanted him to. In other words, he ate of the fruit of the forbidden tree for all the same reasons that many people eat. They are hungry. The food appears appetizing. Someone suggests that they try it. You will like it. As Jews, we are taught to discriminate, to differentiate between that which God has taught us is clean and that which is unclean, between that which can be eaten and that which cannot be eaten, between the pure and the impure. We do not make these distinctions in order to necessarily be healthier, although our spiritual health is certainly much improved by keeping God's commands. We do not make these distinctions in order to suggest that we are better than our neighbors or to limit our interactions with them. We do not make these distinctions for any reason that is necessarily rational or thought out. We make these distinctions because God has told us to. We make these distinctions because the ultimate goal of everything we do as Jews is to be holy. And why are we told to be holy? Because God himself is holy. And our goal and our joy and our meaning comes from our ability to begin to approach the degree of holiness that God desires from us. To be holy. Ultimately, these three words capture what it means to be Jewish. We are to be holy because God is holy. And therefore, following his commands, by definition, bring us closer to that goal. But note, to be holy means being engaged in the world, in the physical. The material world is essential to our holiness. The reason the world has been created with infinite possibilities is not so we seek to conquer all those possibilities, but so that we can conquer ourselves. We seek to conquer ourselves not because our desire for experience is bad in and of itself, but because that which is good about experience is determined by the power of turning away from that which is not to be experienced. To discriminate, to choose, to be holy. But why food? Why should our morality, our holiness, be tied into choices regarding something as base and material as food? The answer, insofar as the question of why, can be adequately addressed when it concerns God's commands. Goes back to the creation, when God breathed a soul into Adam. Adam was formed from the same physical stuff as the beasts of the field, that his name was derived from the Hebrew word for the clay from which his physical nature was formed, Adama. It is this fundamental sameness with all things physical which makes kashrus so important. The fundamental basicness of eating makes it essential to our ability to distinguish and discriminate. In Judaism, the laws and rules of conduct rarely concern themselves with that which is function of our higher natures. Just as the financial world causes us to confront our most base motivations, kashrus calls us to make holy decisions not by avoiding that confrontation, but by engaging it. There does not exist codes of conduct that describe what is necessary for us to do in order to be great or to be wonderful. Instead, we hone in on the more basic, discerning the holiness in even the most basic of behaviors. As Jews, we do not seek separation from our essential natures. Our basest wants and desires. We recognize that anything that God created is necessarily good. It is by our relation with each part of creation that we affirm its goodness and holiness. Kashrus, by focusing on our universal animal need to eat, affirms the connection, the absolute kesher, between the physical and the spiritual. Our discipline, our discrimination, our separation is a discipline which reminds us of the holiness of creation, our own role in our own relationship with our Creator. Kashrus teaches us that Jewish view of holiness and spirituality is intimately related to the physical substance of life. It is impossible to divorce oneself from the world and the physical reality of life and be in pursuit of genuine holiness and spirituality. Judaism teaches that the first commandment delivered to man was to be fruitful and multiply. By definition, if God has delivered such a commandment to man, then the fulfillment of this commandment must bring one closer to God, which is the very definition of spirituality. And then there is the notion of blessing. It is not enough to eat kosher food to be kosher. All of our behaviors, no matter how noble or base, are elevated by our conscious recognition and articulation that they are done because of and for God. That is why we say a bracha, a blessing, before we eat. In doing so, we acknowledge that it is God who brings forth bread from the earth. We focus our trust and faith in the one who is most trustworthy. Giving blessing is particularly important for the act of eating. Chazal, our rabbis, teach that if three people enjoy a feast, a brilliant banquet, yet words of Torah are not discussed, it is as if they had engaged in something prohibited and repulsive. Without a meal, we cannot recite Kiddush. Chazal, the rabbis, have interpreted this to mean that there can be no Kiddusha, no holiness, in the absence of a meal. No holiness except when we eat. What greater statement can there be that the spiritual and material are wed? However, food only affords us the possibility of Kiddusha. We must recite Baruchos, blessings, both before and after we eat, to render our base behavior spiritual and true. Our blessings wed the body with the soul. They turn our attention from our temporal and physical existence to the eternal bond we have with God. Blessings enable material experiences to be elevated to spiritual heights. In the Talmud, it is written, it is forbidden for man to enjoy anything of this world without a blessing. And if anyone enjoys anything of this world without a blessing, he commits sacrilege. To bless is to be fully aware of the pleasure of the material, yes, but more importantly, of the spiritual one who is beyond this world. Kashrus affords us insight into our desire to find meaning during these difficult times. Seeking wealth might appear to be a function of greed, but it need not necessarily be. The wealthy are the ones who provide heat for the synagogue and food for the wayfarer. The desire for wealth is not necessarily a bad thing. Seeking wealth to the exclusion of caring about our fellows is. It is in our choices, in our engagement with the world, that we engage God, that we become holy. It would seem that those who rose most high only to fall the farthest did seek or find blessing in their material enterprise. They certainly did not understand that the true worth of their endeavors was in their seeking the kashrus of it. No meal, no wealth can have real meaning or pleasure without blessing. And when we trust God, even modest meals and material wealth are worth more than a king's feast and kingdom. May the Ribono Shel Olam bless our meals as we bless him. Thank you for listening.